Let's kick off.
Hello.
I'm James.
I'm Eva.
And welcome back to the Atlantic Hour.
We've got a special guest.
Two, actually.
I forgot about the second.
We'll just get our guests to introduce themselves. So we've got Tom.
Hello. My name is Thomas.
Can you just tell the people a bit about yourself?
Hi, my name's Thomas Brex. I'm from London, Bromley in southeast London.
Nice.
20.
And what's sparked your interest in politics?
I chose it for A level mainly because there was a school trip to Washington, okay, which I really wanted to go on, and then COVID happened, and we actually would have been in Washington for the January 6th riots. So I'm kind of annoyed. Also, on that year, I did history as well, and there was a trip to Moscow planned when the Ukraine invasion happened. So I missed out on both of those.
COVID
ruined my
fixed bit. Foreign politics.
So I also just enjoyed it at A level, and I'm quite lazy, so I just thought, what am I good at A level? History and politics. So I do history and politics. That's another thing that's probably important.
Okay, and then we've got Kevin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kevin. I'm 20 years old. I live in South Windsor. I model. I'm an upcoming journalist. I also have a podcast of my own called Talks with Balfour.
All right, Kevin, thanks for plugging your own podcast.
But when it comes to politics, though, I think it's really a very interesting topic. You know, a lot of people have their opinions on it. I, for one, you know, I'm not really too informed about it, but, you know, I know somewhere, you know, I'm a bit knowledgeable. But I'm interested to know more about it today.
Nice. All right, so we're going to kick off with a story that has dominated this week.
Dominated. I think James sat, I think it was this time last week, and he said, well, what happens if nothing happens in the next week? I mean, we're going to have something to talk about. And I was like, James, don't worry, something is bound to happen.
Like James jinxed.
And yeah, I'm the reason.
It seems Trump just can't catch a break, eh?
I know, poor soul. But yeah, so there has been a second assassination attempt.
Yeah, do you want to give a quick summary?
Yeah, so, well, there was one earlier in July, which I'm sure everyone has seen, has produced pretty incredible photos, kind of with Trump bleeding, fists in the air, saying, I took a bullet for democracy. Second assassination attempt, slightly less glorious, but nonetheless still an assassination attempt, happened on Sunday at his golf club in West Palm Beach, Florida. Mm. I believe they've identified the gunman as Ryan Ruth.
Wesley Ruth,
yeah. Who has been charged with two federal gun crimes before. I think one was for possessing a firearm as a felon, and the other was possessing a firearm with a distorted serial number or something like that. But Trump was playing golf, and the Secret Service agents basically spotted a barrel of the rifle poking out the bushes, and then the gunman since been arrested. But the interesting thing is how Trump has responded to this second assassination attempt. People have obviously people have come out in support, including Harris and Biden, you know, making sure Trump's okay. For any human, assassination attempts are not an easy thing to go through. I think that's an understatement. But Trump's response was to blame Harris and Biden and say that it's... he quoted, because of this communist left rhetoric, the bullets are flying and it will only get worse. So he says that what Biden Harris is saying is making people want to assassinate him rather than his own policies.
And Trump's own campaign, literally the day after this event, quoted, democratic rhetoric has inspired another attempt on President Trump's life. So, again, it's almost Trump can't see, as you said, beyond the end of his own nose, and only really knows how to mobilise this as a political weapon against Harris.
Yeah.
Obviously, the attempt is shocking. And we're not condoning in any way what happened.
No.
It'd be crazy that Wesley Ruth decided to wait 12 hours on Trump's golf course.
Yeah, that was... there's a whole, further stories about the nature of the Secret Service and whether they're...
Well, I read up in that he was initially a Trump supporter, which is typically the case, right?
So he voted Trump in 2016. He tweeted that he voted Trump in 2016. Mm. And then he basically, like a lot of Trump voters, people who voted Trump, Trump didn't deliver what he wanted. Mm. So he went with Biden Harris, and then he's really into Ukraine, this guy.
Yeah,
that's his thing. Like
he emailed officials. Like
he's really into the defense of Ukraine. He's tried to recruit Afghans to illegally join the fight to buy passports from Pakistan. It's really he's really into this war in Ukraine. He's gone over there. He's very radicalized by it, and that's why he's so anti-Trump. He's very angry with like a lot of other Republican leaders who basically stood down so that Trump could get the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
So he's big on, he's not that big on Kamala either, though. Like, he's also very angry that they didn't go to the town where Trump was almost assassinated. So he's quite an interesting guy. He's not really either party, but he was very big on the Biden-Harris train as well. Yeah. Like he donated a lot to them.
Mm. I think on a more broad level, it's interesting how this reflects around the cyclical nature of politics as well. Because the first assassination attempt against Trump was July 13th. So what we're 3 months on? 2 months? Yeah.
It's September. we're history students, not math students.
And at the time, people said that that singular photo from that assassination attempt would determine the fate of the election.
When it didn't.
And now, people aren't treating this incident with the same level of almost incendiary rhetoric that they were the first time. It's got a lot of media attention, but not in the same regard.
But would you not say that's because shots were like actually fired?
Yeah,
it was more the government didn't have Trump in sight, and you didn't have those awesome photos produced afterwards with like.
And there weren't people there, and other people didn't die. Like, because the last one was like a week's worth of news. This one I felt like was buried the next day. Like it was sort of the guy's been found. This is who the guy is. The next day. News cycle's over. Like, it's almost crazy that an assassination attempt of a former president has gone over so quickly. I guess it's just because the news cycle now, like, is constantly new updates in the election. Like, the next 40 days or something, it's going to be insane the amount of news there is.
Yeah.
But the fact that the ex-president, almost getting assassinated for the second time is not even a big, massive story. But I think you're right. It's because there's no picture, like, it was quite interesting because like I think that was the major boost to the Trump campaign, the assassination attempt, but it doesn't really seem like this one has had the same sort of like impact on voters.
Like you said, they're trying to use it to reinvigorate the campaign and rally Republicans around the idea that Biden and Harris are out to get them. It was their positions that created the Wesley Roots of this world.
Yeah.
And almost this is a consequence of Democrats trying to push a narrative that Trump is a threat to democracy.
Yeah, I want to talk quickly about Elon Musk.
Yeah,
have you seen what he's talked about on Twitter?
I didn't see.
He was talking about how no one's trying to kill Biden or Harris, which is just okay. Directly, no one's trying to kill Biden or Harris,
but. At the same time, I think they, in the past year, arrested someone on the Obama's property with live grenades. obviously, the Biden and Harris do have their own security details, and they have had incidents, but they're not getting the same publicity as the Trump threats are because it's Trump.
Yeah, because it's Trump. And because Trump is such an advocate for... you know, right to bear arms, which leads on to the whole other topic of gun crime in America. I mean, we obviously just had that awful school shooting in Georgia. That's a whole other conversation to have, but I think it is quite a crucial part of a lot of like in the forefront of voters' minds.
It's also something Harrison Wells are definitely talking about a lot more. The Harris that she said yesterday, like if someone came into her house, she'd shoot them. Like on Oprah. Yeah, on Oprah's on the news.
Oh, wow.
She was on like they're both like very big on like they're both gun owners. Like Waltz, yeah. Waltz keeps saying they're both gun owners. They both protect the Second Amendment. They just don't believe in automatic rifles. But yeah, I think Harris said either today or yesterday that if someone went into her house, like someone was invaded her house, she would shoot them.
Yeah, well, that was the one thing that emerged from the debate is I didn't know she was a gun owner. I don't think many people knew she was a gun owner.
Yeah.
I didn't know until now, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was the kind of comment which was designed to reset expectations.
Yeah, I also think people, like, at the end of the day, like, being the President of the United States or running for the position of President of the United States is an extremely risky and, like, you know, it's an extremely risky position to be in. So undoubtedly you're going to be scared. But yeah, it's just another issue Americans deal with, I guess.
Mm. And something that you both touched on, which segues nicely into our next point, actually, is the fact that the only things which get real media attention are the things which you can almost draw that short form content, you can get the quotes, a bit like the Haitian immigrant stuff, which is what we're about to discuss.
Yeah.
But the fact that there, like you said, there wasn't really like a quick video or a quick quote that Trump like could draw from that, even though he tried to spin it, was kind of telling here.
Yeah.
And obviously these are threats on his life, so we've got to assume it's taking some kind of toll on him. But I thought that like that's an interesting distinction to draw. So on that note, should we talk about the people of Springfield?
Oh dear, Springfield, Ohio.
Having an awful time, aren't
they? They're not,
yeah,
having,
they're
a
not
great...
having a good time.
So just to recap, we talked about this last week, but in the debate, Trump basically claimed that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio were eating
pets,
cats and dogs. Oh.
Kevin, do you want to jump in?
Oh no, I was just saying, yeah, cats and dogs, yeah.
Yeah, and which is probably one of those infamous comments he's made in the debate, and it was very, very quickly debunked by the state of, well, Springfield, Ohio officials. Mm. But even though the claims have already been debunked, this has not stopped J.D. Vance, who's the VP candidate, from you know, still continuing to call Haitian immigrants in Ohio illegal aliens. Mm. The first issue is they're not there illegally. Congress created a temporary program in 1990, I believe, which allowed people from various countries affected by natural and humanitarian crises and wars to live and work in the US for 18 months. So calling them illegal aliens is, to begin with, just a false claim.
Yeah, I've got a quote here from the mayor of Springfield,
yeah,
Rob Roof. Rumors like these are taking away from the real issues such as housing concerns, resources needed for our schools, and an overwhelmed healthcare system. And just on that, the reason why this story was even brought into fruition was because this mayor wrote a letter with J.D. Vance included saying that they have housing concerns in the region. Not anything to do with people's pets. And then, obviously, the Trump campaign were like, how do we spin this towards our base? Try to conjure a story about immigration. Yeah. And the Haitian immigrants, like the mayor admitted, are an integral part of this community.
Yeah.
Because they're bringing vital infrastructure and jobs back to the economy of Springfield, which I think took a hit in the later 20th century.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, this threat of deportation and kind of portrayal of Haitian immigrants as sort of enemies, has kind of created a real sense of danger. So I believe like schools and offices are receiving bomb threats.
Yeah.
The Haitian Times, people who work for them, receiving death threats in the emails, racial slurs.
Well, when you've got a candidate for the president who is actually making people fear leaving their homes because of something they've said,
yeah,
surely at that point Republicans must start to question the integrity of this person for the role.
Well, I'm sure many do, but that's the thing. Trump wants to surround himself with people who support him.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the people in the Trump administration who are watching the debate were definitely just like, when he came out with that, they were just definitely like shaking their heads. Mm. They were like, what?
Yeah, it seems to all come from like a Facebook post as well.
Well, yeah, or like Twitter threads.
It came from like, from what I've read, it came from a joke. A joke is, if the person says she's not a racist, but it's obviously quite a poor taste joke, a woman called Erica Lee, basically saying that one of her friend's cats had gone missing and she'd hoped the Haitians weren't involved. And then that sort of got mixed in with this other video of someone who isn't Haitian, like a not very nice video, obviously, someone who isn't Haitian eating like a goose or something.
Yeah.
It's a really weird mix of people, of videos and threads and everything getting very confused, and somehow this sort of, this woman's poor taste joke on Facebook has made it onto the presidential debate. Like,
I think, as we were saying last week, this whole incident is classic Trump.
Yeah.
To try and use a story, like Tom said, to create that division where there was none in the first place. And that brings us nicely onto J.D. Vance and the whole concept of creating stories.
Yes. Well, I think he actually said, "I don't care, I'll just like continue to create stories."
I mean, that interview with Dana Bash is pretty hard to hear.
I mean, he's just like shooting himself in the foot with that. Like, what did he, like, when I listened to it, I was like, surely not. Like, surely the, like, vice president candidate is not sitting there 45 days away from the election saying he's creating stories. I don't know. I actually have
I don't think nothing he knows.
I don't think anybody knows what's going
but
on.
But I do, on some level, I do feel for him because he has to absorb everything that Trump's done and fully endorse it. If there's any level of...
Well, I read a thing that was like, they're politicising... No, not politicising, like publicising J.D. Vance. He's kind of taking the place of Trump in a lot of interviews.
Mm.
Which I'm
very... Well, I think Trump's own campaign is fearful about what he might say.
Yeah, but I'm not sure Vance is a very good alternative.
No, they don't have they any have no other alternatives.
There's this election, there's probably... I don't know a lot about US elections, but I think this one's probably one of the ones where the vice president has been the most important.
Mm.
Yeah, the contrast.
Like, quite an outsized role.
Harris and Trump, if either of them get in, have very different problems in that Waltz is so much more popular than Harris, really, and Vance is so much less popular than Trump. Like, he's in negative popularity ratings now or something. Like, he's been dropping slowly and slowly, and he's such a bad choice. Like, I don't really get why he was picked.
Well, this is why I'm very excited for the vice president debate in a couple of weeks' time.
Is that actually happening?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I do admit, though, it's very interesting, though, like, just like the whole broad attention with, you know, the vice president and the former president. I think, like you mentioned, the whole narrative with the vice president is, like, brought up as, like, okay, she has the potential just to, you know, run our country. So I do think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And just to rebut that slide, I think Harris has gained a lot of popularity among the nation. Obviously, like, we're going to talk about polls later and the tangible effects of that. But I think she's gone from a position where people couldn't see her as a presidential candidate to a position where a lot of people see her as the presidential candidate for them.
Yeah.
And because she's got that multiple identity background, and she can attract a lot of voting groups, women, ethnic minorities, and her targeting of the middle class, I think that's made her a much more attractive option.
Yeah,
it's taken a lot of effort to do that,
though. It has.
Waltz hasn't had to try nearly as hard to try and win people over.
He's
a white male.
He's got some advantages there, but I think it's just quite interesting how they quickly they've jumped on the Waltz train and how they jumped off the J.D. Vance train.
Mm.
Like, cause when it was announced, people were quite excited by it because obviously he's like this famous author, future of conservative thinking, who was anti-Trump and now is pro-Trump, and it's sort of a weird story, and now it's sort of gone completely off the rails.
Yeah, and also Trump picked Vance at a point where his campaign was gaining a lot of political strength. So this is just off the back of the assassination, riding right into the RNC, and like he was like, I don't think I can be beat right now. Let me just pick a candidate, which I think is going to play hard to my base. Obviously, Vance has got a large pull in Pennsylvania as a keystone state.
Although Pennsylvania is now leaning towards Harris.
Yeah.
So clearly backfired.
But they're both Midwestern, right?
Yeah.
But it just shows you can't really predict politics, can you?
Well, especially when you have your vice president going up there saying he's creating stories. No, but you can't predict politics.
Should we talk about Laura Loomer?
Go for it.
All right, so this is a far-right social media influencer who has, I won't say taken the place, but has occupied quite a large role in Trump's like advisory meetings and his overall presidential campaign. She is quite a controversial and divisive figure within the MAGA Republican wing of the party. An outspoken Trump supporter, Marjorie Taylor Greene, took issue with Loomer. And a lot of Loomer's comments are quite divisive because of their racial or almost provocative, insensitive undertones. I mean, she said the White House will smell like curry if Harris, again, of Indian descent, is elected. I think there are a few things I can't speak for my panel, but for myself, that would surprise me in terms of what Trump is willing to do to be elected. But even this, for me, feels a bit far.
Well, I mean, I think she very proudly claimed that she was an Islamophobe, like, very freely. Anyway, I'm shaking my head. I have no words. What I can remember from this article I read is Trump kind of spoke out an initial support for her and then was like, but some of the stuff she said, I'm going to distance myself from her. I think he has tried to maintain at least a bit of distance just because I think she's so radical and so extreme. I mean,
I'm wondering, right, is if Trump's tactic is provocation and he wants to attract like a younger audience of voters who haven't had that stake in presidential elections before, is this the way to mobilize a group which doesn't have a set opinion on either candidate yet by bringing forward ideas that are so radical, that people can actually think, wow.
I mean, it's a very risky strategy.
It is, but Trump loves taking risks.
But do you not think by default those are probably Trump voters anyway?
Yeah.
Well, I did read, again, we're going to talk later, but 18 to 29 year old males are turning out more in support for Trump than Harris at the moment. And that's the one group he's really trying to target, because obviously within that group are going to be some of those new voters. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if rhetoric like this plays into that sway of the electorate, but maybe he sees some potential there that we aren't really seeing.
Well, I just feel like because this election is so close, he has the ability, by tying himself to a far-right activist, to lose key swing states. Again, he has the ability to gain key swing states, but when you put yourself in such a radical position, you have to look at the options, and like he could lose Georgia, he could lose North Carolina, because he's tied himself to someone who believes that 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah. Words.
There are literally no words. So,
Kevin, do you want to jump in?
Yeah. About the whole JD Vance.
Or Laura Loomer, yeah.
Okay. So I do agree with the part where you mentioned how Trump is like willing to take risks. I think that kind of
same way as what JD's kind of doing. Because we know JD is in the same, you know, party as Trump. So
the way I see it is like, okay, if you can build this attention, have people feel, you know, I wouldn't say bad or emotional about him, but more towards like just having people just question, okay, this is happening. We should have Trump. We should kind of vote for Trump. We should kind of see how he is, because I know there's a lot of perspective based off like how Kamala Harris is. And I know I'm going a little bit off topic about JD, but I know there's a kind of like a big perspective about like, are we going to have the right role model? Like, you know, as a woman, Kamala, like, can she really, you know, contribute as a president? Mm. And I just think that, like, you know, with the whole attention that's built upon, I think this is like a great way for, I think this is kind of like what Trump's plan is for, to like build attention, have people, you know, I don't want necessarily say feel bad, but feel more like build up more, you know, attention, I guess, in that way. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. I also think, like, I mean, we're in UConn, like, we're in the place where 18 to 29 year old Americans are. Like, I try as a rule not to speak about politics with people, but you tell them what you do.
Yeah, same.
Do you tell them what you do as a major, and then they sort of ask you, and you speak to, like, I spoke to a few Americans, and they just, I have interest, I ask. Mm. And like, and then the other three of us, they all have said Trump, and it's basically like they're all like quite, I don't know, businessy people. Like, they have their own, one of them was a very big like social media guy, and he just went, oh yeah, Trump's a businessman. Gives you more money. I think there's a sort of like these sort of taglines, like Trump's a businessman, mm-hmm. Trump's this, Trump's for this, Trump's, like, it's quite easy to distill what Trump is, and if you identify with that, that's very easy to do. And then I sort of feel like it that sort of takes away from like actual the truth, which is the economy has been better under Biden. He's actually done a very, very good job with the economy.
Yeah,
like opportunity, like everything's up. Obviously, Trump is a bit. It is a bit unfair that Trump had the pandemic, which obviously destroyed everything. At the end, he did actually have quite a good, like, jobs program and stuff, even though it was at the expense of, like, a lot of environmental policies and stuff. But, like, I feel like they, like, 18 to 29-year-olds are sort of attaching themselves to these taglines of good for business, you know, businessman, the apprentice, all that sort of stuff.
Well, that, yeah, so that kind of leads into the point I want to talk about is what is Harris's position after the debate, and what can she do to kind of secure those key swing states and secure those thousands of votes, which will obviously make up the decision in early November. Economy is not her area of expertise.
She's
very confident on abortion, on human rights, not so much the economy. Which is where, you know, she, in the next few weeks, she really needs to kind of tackle her policies and economy. And I think that is where a lot of swing voters are kind of like between the two candidates, because they look at Trump, who had a clear economic plan. And then you have Harris, who's, you know.
Well, that's why she wanted the second debate, right? Mm-hmm. To give herself that platform to talk about her economic policies in greater depth.
Yeah.
The first debate was just to frame herself as a candidate who's realistic for the presidency and the right choice, and to almost derail Trump's campaign, which she did.
Yeah.
But the second one would have given her, but then now Trump said that he's not going to give her that airtime.
Because he won. It was obvious.
Yeah.
He obviously won. Why would he try again?
It's like he won the 2020 election.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a winner. But so what I think Harris really needs to do is, she talked very well in the debate about issues she was good on. Mm. She was still unclear about the economy. I think she really needs to knuckle down on that.
I think what they need to sort of stress almost is that Kamala, even if she's a change for America, but she's not really a change politically. Like, from all we know, basically it's going to be Biden's team going for a second term. So it's going to be Biden's economic team who have done quite well.
And she's adopting most of Biden's economic plans,
yeah,
right?
Which is why she's
probably not trying to stress that too much.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to tie yourself to an economic plan, people see is failing. Like both of you have said, perception is reality. So if people think they're less well off under 4 years of Biden than they were under Trump, then they're going to be more susceptible to voting for another Trump administration. Mm-hmm. But if they recognize that there was actually a greater level of individual wealth and greater prosperity under Biden, then they probably have more incentive to then vote for Harris. So if she can reframe people's mind, again, that's very difficult within, as you said, under 50 days. But if she can do that, yeah, that's probably the key to...
Yeah, I've got the election countdown here. It's 40, as of right now, 45 days, 13 hours, 9 minutes and 57 seconds.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so looking forward to that.
And then you find out about a week after it actually happens.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there are so many votes.
It's fine, guys. Trump only needs those 10,000 votes in Georgia again. I'm sure he'll make a few phone calls.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come up with something to do in the next couple of weeks, which probably won't expect. Does anybody have any theories, any predictions?
I'll leave it to our guests on that.
I don't know. I think this could be more just crazy stuff. Like, I don't know, because he needs to keep himself... The things that have kept his campaign going, unfortunately, have been the assassination attempts. It's not a nice thing to say, but, like, he really wasn't... He was sort of... I mean, and obviously the court case. So him losing that court case sort of made him relevant again, because he wasn't really that relevant. Like, Biden was doing fine. Like, obviously, they've got problems with immigration, which, you know, I think Biden, you could say, well, that was Kamala's responsibility, but that's, you know, by the by now. Like... Mm. It's sort of like the court case, him getting indicted. Is he going to run? Is he not going to run? He runs. He runs and he wins the nomination because basically lots of people stand down in his way. But like really, Biden's pretty strong. Obviously, the first debate changes everything. The assassination attempt changes everything. It's sort of like, I almost think he needs another debate. He needs to keep, because the more that stuff keeps going on in the background, the more mental it is. Like the more that he's just sort of going out there and speaking. Like, I'm sure all of us have seen, like, those compilations of him speaking. Like, you don't understand what he's saying. Like, he needs those big moments. He needs stuff to happen. He needs stuff to happen around him, because I think people are getting a bit sick of him.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't as... Like, you think about the 2016 election, like, especially that one. Like, I knew everything Trump wanted, because it was crazy and it was all over the news and, like, but now, Trump could say 1,000 different things. I don't really know what his plan is. I know he's made some deal with RFK Jr. I know he's made some deal with Elon Musk. I know people who
he's
are around
the
him.
Whole squad together.
Yeah, but like, I don't know any of his. I don't know any of his policies really. I don't know what he's doing. Does he want to continue from the 2016 one? Like,
well,
it's
that,
all.
Yeah,
bit,
that's like, what was said in the debate when they asked, "Do you have a plan?" And he said, "I have concepts of a plan."
Yeah, but at the same time, even, he's trying to now run as far away from Project 2025 as physically possible.
Yes, I know.
But he wants it. Like,
I think he likes the drama. He's
but
the
like
drama
anyone, queen. Like if I came up with to you and said, "I've got a plan to make you president forever." Like, you love it. Like, and he's the sort of guy who carries the same amount. He got the same sort of energy as like Erdogan and people like that, who sort of could probably pull it off. Like, with the fact like a radical following. Like, Biden could never have turned around. I guess Biden's a bit of a bad example because he's too old. Obama, very popular president, could never have turned around and gone, "I'm gonna be president forever, and I'm disassembling all the education systems, civil service, all that." But Trump's the sort of guy you can imagine doing it.
Yeah, well, he's radical. He's a lunatic.
But I think for him, like, I really don't know what he has to do, because, like, it seems like stuff just happens around him. Craziness follows craziness, clearly.
Yeah, it's and, just like an escalation of craziness.
Like, you just don't know what's going to... Like, there could be a third assassination attempt, you know? Like, anything could happen around him.
Think if there's a third assassination attempt, people are going to start thinking they're staged.
Well, I'll be honest, that was one of my initial thoughts when I heard about it, because I just remember, like, the photo and everything. Now, reading more about it, it clearly wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you know, like, just the political convenience of he has been getting battered in the last few weeks. Like, the DNC was really bad for him. The debate was bad for him. Like, Waltz has been terrible for him. Like, he needed something, and that was something. So that, but I mean, obviously it wasn't, like, the guy is very clearly a nutter, but like he just like, for him, he needs something absolutely mental to happen, I think.
Even he needs Vance to eviscerate Vance in this debate.
Yeah, and I'm more interested for that debate. I didn't watch the presidential one. I was in Ted's. But,
just for context, Ted's is a bar. On-campus bar.
Yeah. It wasn't even on the I thought it would be on the TVs in Ted's. It wasn't. But
that's so funny.
But I'd be much more interested to watch the vice presidential one, because I think it should be more entertaining, I'll be honest, but like,
yeah,
well, we've got to have you back in our episode post that.
I think also because that's like, Harris has been vice president, Trump has been president, they're not new characters in US politics.
Yeah,
neither are Vance and Waltz, but they are, I think, for although the most part,
I feel like
part,
the energy Harris has brought
is new.
Yeah,
yes. Almost reinvigorated her campaign to the point where she's almost like a fresh.
She's
face.
Rebranded.
She is the change candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think for Waltz and Vance, I think a lot of people don't really know much about them. So having these two brand new candidates debating each other,
yeah,
I think will be very interesting.
Maybe they should get Mike Pence to moderate. Just for
oh my god, he will bias moderator, is all I'll say. But it will give insight into their own personal beliefs and what they want for America in the coming 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I think I'm more, I'm very excited for that one, if not more than I was.
Also, they're sort of supposed to be targeting the same groups as well.
Yeah, I would love to see how they, like, differ from their, from, like, people running for president.
Right, should we talk about polls to wrap up?
Yes. So, where has the debate left us? The debate has left us with the polls being neck and neck, basically. There are seven crucial states. Where there is possibility to sway the votes. So Arizona, North Carolina and Nevada, both Trump and Harris have 48% each. They're kind of, which is neck and neck. Pennsylvania, Harris is 49, Trump is 48, but Harris is, Pennsylvania is leaning more towards Harris, which is the good thing that's come out of the debate, can I say. Georgia, Trump is 49, Harris is 47, and we've talked already in this episode about how Trump has the ability to lose Georgia if he keeps on the extremist view, but he also has the ability to keep Georgia. I think flipping just one state can lead to either candidate's victory, which I think is why this election is so exciting.
And it's even tighter than the Biden-Trump election,
well,
right?
It's coming down to like thousands of votes, like maybe I want to say 10,000. I could be wrong on that, but which is so close if you think about the number of people voting.
Yeah.
Do you think we might end up in the same situation as 2016, where there might inevitably be more votes for Harris?
Oh yeah.
Because I think the way the American electoral system is set up, like, it's very dependent on these votes, and like, I wonder how long America, I mean, we have it in the UK as well, like, how long are people going to tolerate these systems that don't provide an equal outcome?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem in America is the Constitution's so sovereign that
You
can't change it.
There is no real system to create that kind of change.
Yeah.
Also, is that interesting, like, how much do you think, realistically, like, again, like, in a big event, Kennedy Jr., he didn't step down. He stepped down in swing states. Doesn't really seem to have changed anything.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that his votes mainly just came from...
But if more Republicans turn around in the next X weeks and state that they're going to be endorsing Harris, I wonder if that would be the thing to move the needle.
Do you mean like Republican, like... electors or...
No, just high-level Republicans in the party, so... I think Bush should come out and say, yeah.
Wow. I don't think he can do much now.
If that happened, that would be mental. But
it would, yeah.
Do you guys think that there might be, like, I know it was, like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, happened around, I think, 2021 or 2022, where
Trump and Biden had like kind of like a stall, like it took a few days to confirm the winner. Do you think that might be the case for Kalama and Trump?
Yeah, there'll always be recounts, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, Trump will definitely request a recount if he doesn't win.
That is,
and they said that on a deeper level, this is the threat that, on a serious note, American democracy's in. If Trump didn't win, I mean, he's already laying the groundwork for contesting this presidential election in the same way. And I don't think America really can handle another insurrection right now.
No.
In this current state that it's in.
America needs a strong leader.
It needs to heal.
And it just needs 4 years of, not peace, but it needs 4 years like a stable...
Mm.
The world is sort of regressing,
basically.
Back from like Johnson, Trump.
Yeah.
We're going back to Special K, Keir Starmer, and
Sir Keir.
Two Special Ks, Kamala and Keir.
My ultimate fancy pick for President VP would be if Kamala got Michelle in there as her
really?
VP. Yeah.
Unstoppable. In a dream world.
I think Michelle was hoping that she might get the nomination.
Really?
I think her and Barack have talked, and he's been like, "Don't do this."
No, they were so late to endorse her though.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I really think they wanted a way out and see, and an open convention and see how she did. You know, like that scene in you watch House of Cards when he's putting forward one candidate, but he's actually secretly trying to get his wife in.
Yeah.
I think Trump's trying to do, I think Obama was trying to do the same thing. Ooh. I really think they were angling to see, like, if it went to an open convention, how popular she was.
Mm.
Yeah.
But maybe, like, but the thing is now, it feels like the Democrat Party is sort of locked in for, like, if they win this election, she gets two. I don't know how old Waltz is going to be, but if he maintains his popularity,
he could run for a second term.
He could run. Mm. Like, Kamala can go for two terms. Like, it really does seem like they're sort of set in stone, so maybe Michelle never gets a chance.
But I think if she did
she'd need
win
to do
the presidential nomination, then the Republican Party would be like, this is the end of the Trump dynasty. We need to rebuild what it means to be a Republican.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in 8 years' time, they'd probably have a far more universally supported candidate.
Like what the Conservatives are doing in the UK now.
Exactly.
I was wondering, is it possible for a previous president to run as a vice president?
I'm not sure.
Surely. Yeah, because they're not allowed to run for two presidential terms, but surely they can.
What are you
thinking? Just thinking of a little Barack Obama duo.
The Obamas.
The Obamas.
Exactly like House of Cards.
Yeah.
Alright, I think that's a good place to wrap
place
up
to
this week.
Yeah.
Next week, we will be discussing...
Whatever happens.
Yeah. We'll probably be putting in some preliminary thoughts about the vice presidential
debate.
We will have another panel, hopefully with some other guests, maybe.
Maybe look at the polls, just have like an update, see if anything's changed. Obviously, as Tom's saying, maybe something crazy will happen in the next week, which will shift everything.
It's American politics, so we've come to expect the unexpected.
Yeah, exactly. Anything is... everything is...
All right, guys, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Have a good week.
Thank you.